All right, let's open our Bibles once again to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. And for the last few weeks, we've been considering this 14th chapter in a number of ways. First of all, we looked at the first 16 verses and we considered how all this points to our Lord, who is our great shepherd, who leads us in the right way. He always leads his chosen people in the right way, in the way that he'd have us to go. And then secondly, we looked at those verses again and we considered how God sends us trials. When God sends us trials, it's all for our good. It's all for our good. And then thirdly, we looked at how it all points to what our Lord accomplished for us when he died in our room in our stead. Our Lord satisfied the justice of God being made a curse in the place of his people. And in doing so, he held back the waters of God's holy wrath so that his chosen people would not experience one drop of that wrath. Not even one drop of those waters would touch them, but rather those waters would come crashing down on those who pursued them. And all of their sins would be forever lost in the sea of God's forgetfulness because they are all put away. And finally, last week we considered how it all points to our baptism into Jesus Christ. When we died in him, we went with him into that watery grave. And when he rose again, we rose again with him. And we ascended with him to his throne in heaven, and we sat down with him. And so when the Lord called us out of darkness, we obeyed him in believer's baptism. And we made a public profession of faith in him. And symbolically, we went down into those that watery grave and came out of that grave once again to walk in the newness of life. And so with all that in mind, I'd like for us to go back again one more time and consider this chapter as an illustration of how God brings a sinner to repentance and faith in Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. And so if you're with me in the 14th chapter of Exodus, look here at verse 1. It says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea." Now watch this. "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." They are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we considered how this describes all men by nature. They're entangled in the land. They're entangled with worldly care and entangled with fleshly lusts, and they're bound by the sin nature. All men by nature are lost in the wilderness of this fallen world. And the Pharaoh of Egypt is an illustration or a type of Satan who will not let go of us without a fight. When God sent the Israelites down into Egypt, it was to redeem them from the Egyptians. And so when God brought those 10 plagues on Egypt, it was to demonstrate to all of those Egyptians that it is the God of Israel who reigns. It's not all those gods that they bowed down themselves to. And Pharaoh did let them go. But then he changed his mind and he went after them again. And that's what Satan does. He will not let go of those who are in bondage to him, even though he understands that his time is short. And in fact, that only puts Satan in a rage. It makes him want to come after God's people all the more. And God does have a people in this fallen world to whom he has completely committed himself. God's committed himself to them. And though Satan may roar and fuss and fight and cause all kinds of trouble, he can't have God's people. He cannot have God's people. When God comes in mercy and calls them out of darkness by sending his Spirit under the preaching of the gospel to open our eyes and unstop our deaf ears, we see God's salvation. We see God's salvation. We hear his voice, and we hear our Savior calling us, and God brings us into a place where we have no choice but to trust in him. And we do. We believe and we're saved. And so here we have a picture of how God gives repentance and faith to his chosen people by the power of his Spirit under the preaching of the gospel. Look here at verse 4. At verse 4. The Lord here has just commanded them to encamp by the sea, and then he said this. He said, "And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. That is, they went and encamped by the sea as the Lord had commanded. And then in verse 5, it says, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, 'Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?' And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them." Pharaoh would not let them go. He was determined to keep them in bondage. And so he gathered up all of his men and he went after them again. And as a result, the Lord hardened his heart. Look here at verse 8. "And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." That is, the Lord gave him exactly what he desired in his heart. He hardened his heart. And it says he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. They went out in triumph because the Lord had delivered them. Now, just as soon as the Lord had delivered them, they looked again and they saw those Egyptians hot on their trail once again. And in verse 9 it says, "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides Pihoroth, before Baal-zephon." Now, watch what it says here in the next verse. "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid." They were sore afraid. They were scared to death. And that's what we experience when we're forced to recognize that our sins have separated us from our God. And when Satan whispers in our ears and he tells us that there is no hope for us, that God cannot save us because our sins are too great. It says here, "And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Now, do you see what has just taken place here? These Israelites are now at their wits' end, and they're at the end of themselves, and they're in hopeless despair. At this point, they would rather go back to Egypt than to be in the wilderness, running for their lives. And so they had come to the end of themselves. And even more specifically, they saw very clearly that they were going to die no matter which way they went. Yeah. Didn't matter. Now, the first thing God does when he saves his people under the preaching of the gospel is he convicts them. He convicts us. He makes us to know that we're condemned to die, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And God makes us to know that his justice demands satisfaction, and that we cannot live unless satisfaction is made to his justice. And we can't do it. We can't perform what it takes to make satisfaction to God's justice. We cannot do it. We saw this last week, how the Lord made it so that they were trapped with the mountains on both sides of them, and with the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptians behind them. Trapped in hopeless despair, with nowhere else to go except through the sea. And here, in verse 13, we read, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever."
Yes, sir.
Now, I've mentioned this before, but I'll never forget the first time I heard a message by Pastor Don Fortner on this very passage that we have before us, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. I was basically at the end of my rope. I was deathly afraid that I was going to go to hell. And I was steeped in religion, but I had no assurance of faith in Christ. And I was at my wit's end. And so I was gripped with fear by the terror of God's holy law, so that I lost all hope in myself. And I almost wish that I could go back to believing that I was saved because of my decision for Jesus that I made when I was 14. I almost wish that I could go back to that foolish delusion, because it was painful to realize that I was not really saved. But God didn't leave me in that state. God in his mercy sent me a preacher. And he caused me to hear what that preacher was saying. And not only what that preacher was saying, but what God himself was saying to me through that preacher. I could clearly see that my only hope was the Lord Jesus Christ. And that all of my works and all of my resolutions and all my promises and all my tears were worthless. Absolutely worthless. I saw my sin, and I saw the infinite holiness of God's holy law against sin. I saw that the only hope for a sinner like myself was someone who would be able to be a perfect substitute. God showed me that faith in his son was the only way a sinner can find acceptance with him. But I could not believe. I couldn't work up the faith no matter how hard I tried. And I saw very clearly that faith in Christ is the gift of God.
Amen.
And he caused me to see that he could save me or he could damn me. He could give me faith or he could leave me alone. It was all up to him. In other words, the Lord showed me that his grace is sovereign.
Amen.
Sovereign. And that I had no other hope but in him. All hope in myself was gone. But the Lord did not leave me alone. He unstopped my deaf ears, and I heard the Lord saying to me, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today." And I could see all my sins, all of them, washed away in his precious blood. I could see a clear way through those waters of wrath in Jesus Christ. And I could hear him calling, saying, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today." Here in verse 14, Moses said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And I remember how faithfully the Lord fulfilled that when he gave me the faith to believe on him. The Lord spoke peace to me by his Holy Spirit under the preaching of his glorious gospel. And he said, "Fear not, stand still." I couldn't do anything else. I had nothing to offer. I was taking out the trash the other day, and the smell in that trash can was awful. It was like something crawled into that trash can and died. Well, that's just how my works appeared to me when God showed me the truth about my sin. What did I have to offer to God in exchange for my soul? I had nothing. Nothing to offer him. All my righteousness were nothing but filthy rags in God's sight. That's all that I had. And so what else could I do but simply stand still? Just stand still. And then the Lord told me that I should go forward. Verse 15 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And that's just what the Lord did for me. He split the Red Sea and he caused me to go forward, to walk by faith into that watery grave. And I saw that my sins were all put away and there was nothing to do but to rest in Christ and to rest in the knowledge that when the Lord said it is finished, he meant that it is finished. And so just as the Lord purposed for Pharaoh to pursue the Israelites, he purposed for Satan to pursue his people, that he might show his people his almighty power to save them from him. And that he might display his sovereign grace and mercy in dividing that sea and causing that sea to destroy all their enemies once and for all, that he might receive all the glory and the praise. Look here at verse 17. "And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Why did God allow Satan to pursue me and cause me to fear? That he might receive all the glory in delivering me from him and from that bondage that I was once in. And the angel of God, it says here in verse 19, "which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night." The very same gospel message that was a cloud and darkness to so many others gave light to this sinner, even in the midst of the darkness of this fallen world all around me. Now, how about you? Has the Lord caused you to see his salvation?
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ himself is salvation. Has he shown you that he himself is that pillar of cloud and that fire that guides and protects you all throughout your journey in this wilderness that we call the world? And has he given you the faith to follow him even unto death, forsaking yourself? Verse 21 says, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided." Now watch this. "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw the sea stand up like two walls and I was told to go in, I would be terrified. I would be afraid to walk through that sea. And it's safe to assume that they were terrified to walk through that sea. But the Word of God tells us that they all walked through.
Amen.
That each and every one of them followed Moses right into the midst of that sea. And in the same way, our Lord will see to it that each and every one for whom he died and shed his own precious blood, that each and every one of them whom he has redeemed, he'll call them out of darkness and they'll be made to follow him. God's spiritual Israel cannot be lost. It cannot be lost. We were predestinated and appointed by God unto eternal life. And not one will be lost. We will all make it to the promised land. Now it says here in verse 23, "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.'" No matter how hard Satan tries to stop God's chosen people from following Christ and from believing on Christ and confessing him as their Lord and Savior, our God overrules him. Our God overrules him. When it says here, he troubled the host of the Egyptians, that means that he, according to some of the commentators, sent thunder and lightning and possibly hailstorms out of that pillar. And then it says that he took off their chariot wheels. He took away their ability to come after the Israelites. The Lord fought for his people. And it's so obvious that the Lord fought for them that even all those Egyptians said, "Let's get out of here. He's fighting for those Israelites against us." And now watch what happened next. Here in verse 26, "And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen.' And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them." Now watch this. "But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Now, what a deliverance. What a great God. What a wonderful Savior the Lord Jesus is. Can you even imagine a greater display of the wisdom and power and glory of God? Our Lord promised them that he would get honor upon Pharaoh and that his people would see the Egyptians no more. In a sense, those Egyptians symbolize our sin. All those sins that we were guilty of. All against us. All threatening to damn us. But God made it so that we would see those Egyptians no more.
Yes, sir.
All of our sins are washed away in his blood. Isn't that wonderful? All of our sins. What a wonderful picture that is of how God delivers his people out of darkness. Of how God in his mercy, in covenant mercy, he must and shall call each one out of darkness and reveal to them how utterly complete their salvation is in Jesus Christ. Every last one of our enemies has been conquered for us by Jesus Christ. And if God has accomplished all this for us, brethren, how we ought to praise him each and every day. each and every day for all that he's done for us, all that he's doing for us, and all that he will do for us, knowing that one day we will be with him. And we'll sing his praises for all eternity.
Yes, sir.
For the rest of eternity. We will sing the praises of our God for saving us from all our sins. Well, next week, Lord willing, we'll look at how these Israelites, whom God had saved from Pharaoh, how they sang hymns of praise and devotion to him with hearts full of joy. The next chapter is just full of praise to our God. And so until then, brethren, may the Lord be pleased to cause us to praise him and to use these things to prepare us this morning for the worship service to come. And that it all might be to the glory of that one who loved us and gave himself for us. It's all right here in Exodus. I hope the Lord will use this to bless you and that we might give all praise to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Mike.